Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad to be in the presence of the Lord with you. You could be anywhere you would choose to be, but you chose to be here. So I'm grateful to be a part of the family of God with you, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Amen. Open up your Bibles to the Old Testament. As I was praying, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, 1. Have you ever asked for something, and when you got it, you realized that you didn't ask for the right thing? I mean, you may have wanted it with all your heart. You may have thought it was exactly what you were looking for. Well, what's on my heart this morning is God wants to show us, He wants to enable us to receive an anointing this morning that will stop every Saul in your life. See, the name Saul means ask. See, the people of Israel, they asked for Saul, and they got what they wouldn't think. They got something opposite of what they were seeking for. And so this morning, there's things operating in every one of our lives. Now, listen, I'm not here to judge anything. And you know me. Everyone in here that knows me, I do not push my opinion on anybody because my opinion is my opinion. So what I'm saying to you this morning is not my opinion. You settle with what the Spirit of God is talking into your heart this morning, amen? But I tell you what's real and what's true standing behind this pulpit. God wants to, with the anointing of God, He wants to stop some Sauls in your life and my life that we've asked for, and we've got some things that have risen up that only the Spirit of God can take out. But if we'll take heed this morning, we can see some mighty changes. Amen? All right, and here's how we're going to do it. 1 Samuel 31, verse number 1. 1 Samuel 31, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, and they fell down slain in the mount of Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchijah, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore and wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. And Saul died, and his three sons and his armor-bearer and all his men the same day together. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Hallelujah. So this morning, we look at this sad story. We look at what could have been and what ended up happening. And Saul had so much potential, so much promise. When he was first named king, he was very humble, even though he was a head taller, even though he had prestige and all of these things. But yet, through a series of life and things happened, he was lifted up by pride, and he was in the place where he lost what God could have done in and through him. But this morning, I want you and I just to look at his life, and I want us to see that the way that Saul was destroyed, he was destroyed. The enemy come against him. And every one of us this morning, we have an enemy that comes against us. But he fell on the sword. He fell on his own words. But he fell on the word of the Lord. And you and I have got to see if we want those things in our life that would be a hindrance, that would be a limitation to us, that would be prideful, that would be carnal, that would be of our own making, it has to be the sword of the Lord that will destroy it out of our lives. But the Word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts through every lie. It cuts through everything that would bring bondage and limitation. Amen? And so, let's look at some things. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8, or chapter, yeah, 1 Samuel chapter 8. And let's look at verse number 5. And let's see how we, you know, we can be going to the, to our altar in the Lord. We can have a great relationship with the Lord. But if we get our eyes, this morning, look up into heaven and say, I'm precious. You are. You are precious. The Word of God says you are the most precious in God's sight. He said that when He looks at you and He puts His eye on you, He puts His favor. His favor is on you. His favor goes where His heart is. And this morning, His heart is about you. But if we're not careful, the enemy works in our lives and he tries to get us to look around and he tries to get us to choose something other than what God has for us. But you know what? Nothing in this world is of value to you. You're greater than this world because you're born of the Spirit. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. Amen? And so here you are this morning. And you're in a place and a position where the Spirit of God is just wanting to open up some things to us. Now, I know by revelation that, and I say this in trembling and fear, that there's some areas in some of our lives that we're in bondage. We're in bondage to a mindset. We're in bondage to the way that we see things. Anything that I see that is not according to this Word, I'm sorry, no matter how much I believe it, it's a lie. It's not the truth. And so I've got to see that my God, your God, He is the God that changes not, right? The book of Malachi tells us that. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so in your life, in my life, if there's not a change taking place, then I'm not becoming more like Him. Because, see, I am not Him. He doesn't change, and so I have to change. Amen? And so here Saul started out well, but instead of changing and going the way he should, he went the other way. Now, I say that to say this, if we get to looking at other things, look at 1 Samuel 8 and 5. It says, the elders of Israel, they said unto Samuel, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in the ways. Now make us a king to judge us, how? Like all nations. They're trying to put Samuel in a place of being on the defense. This is your fault, but because of you, we want to be like everybody around us. God, this is your fault. My life isn't exactly the way I want it to be, so I want to be like I see this Christian. I want to see how this brother is, this sister is. I want to see how this is. I want my life like this. I want to do what they're doing. I want to go where they're going. All of these things. And so here they are. They're saying, I want to be like other nations. You realize that if you and I, if we try to emulate what our brother or sister is doing, we're stepping down from the glory that God's put upon our life. You've got a glory that is from the Lord Jesus Christ that nobody else can carry. You have an anointing in your life to do what nobody else can do. Why in the world would you want to look around and see what somebody else is doing and say, that's for me? Only the Spirit of God can tell you what's for you, amen? Because you are unique. All right, verse number 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, in that all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now see, this is a critical place this morning where you and I, we look all around the world. We see where we're at in this point of time. We know that we're coming into the last of the last days. We're in the last generation because if we look at what Paul wrote Timothy. He said, "In the latter days, you're going to see what? You're going to see people departing from the faith. You're going to see them having a form of godliness, but denying the power of. You're going to see a generation that is disrespectful, that's unholy. As you and I look around, we see Isaiah chapter 5 being manifested. Isaiah chapter 5 tells us that when you see a nation that is embracing not only wrong, but they're lifting wrong up above what's right, then you know that you're in the place of judgment. Now, whether we want to believe it or not, judgment is going to come. Now, judgment's not always a bad thing. Judgment can be a good thing. But we've got to see that because of the grace of Jesus Christ, we're looking forward to that time. But there's a whole lost world that doesn't understand. But this morning, you and I have got to say, now, wait a minute. I am supposed to be the light of the world because Jesus said so. And the way that I'm the light of the world, I let the glory of the Lord shine through me. I let the glory of the Lord be manifested in the unique way that He called me to walk in that. And the only way that can be is I've got to be different than I was yesterday. And if I'm not different than I was yesterday, then some things I've asked for that I'm looking to, that I'm holding on to, are limiting what God would do in my life. And so I want to allow Him to be king. I don't want to displease God. There's so many people that you and I talk to, they think that they can live where they want to live, that they can work where they want to work, they can go to church where they want to go to church, they can minister how they want to minister. That's the whole upside down reality of where we're at. When Jesus Christ, when you call on Him as Lord of Lords, He is the King. He has the one that has the final say, and we have to yield to Him. Amen? And if we're not doing that, we're in a place and a position where we're putting a Saul in our life. We're allowing Saul to be the key focus of what we're looking at. And this morning, we got to look to Jesus. Amen? If we look to Jesus, He's the truth that makes us free. So let's go with me over to the 18th chapter. Let's see how we can put this into practice. 1 Samuel 18 and 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now let's think about that. Here, let's look at Jonathan and let's figure out how you and I can get the Saul out of our life. Because Jonathan, Saul was his daddy, of course, his earthly dad. Here being in that place, Jonathan had the opportunity to inherit and to take over for Saul, to let that kingly heritage go that direction. But when he saw David, the type of Jesus, he saw the anointing. Because remember, David had done in 1 Samuel 16, done and been anointed to be king. So he looked at him and he saw that. And when he saw that anointing, he saw the plan of God. Because being the type of Christ, he looked at that and he loved him. He loved him and he wanted what? Jonathan and David have this unique relationship. You and Christ have this unique relationship. When you look and you see Jesus, you see that everything He has for you is better than what man could plan out. Jonathan said, hey, I could be king in the earthly sense for a short period of time. But I could give everything I've got to David, the type of Christ, and I could have everything. Come on Wednesday nights, we're studying just like Jesus, just like Jesus. And as we were talking about Wednesday night, you and I, when we accept Christ, we become heirs of God. But joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen? And so this is what Jonathan did. Jonathan looked, and he looked at David, and he saw the plan and the will of God, and he said, this is what I want for my life. I want every Saul out of my life. I want it. And the way that we do that is, first of all, hold your place there. Go with me. The Spirit of God spoke Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22. You know the verse. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now see, Jonathan looked at David, the type of Christ, the type of Jesus, and he looked at him and he loved him. He loved him. This morning, the way that we can get every soul out of our life is that we allow our soul to be knit with Jesus.
We look and we say, Lord, right now I want every salt, everything that I would have a little inkling towards that would pull me away from your will, your plan, your truth. I want to love you more than that. I want you to come in into my life, and I want you to be manifested. I want you to do what you said. Romans 5:5, you said that you would shed abroad in my heart the love of God. I want that love. I give you permission to just to go in and allow that love to push out everything that might be in my soul, in my body, in my mind. I want all of those things gone this morning. I want them to be brought under subjection to you. Because he said that this is the first, verse 38, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. We can't do what God's asked us to do if we don't get the Saul out of our life. Saul hated David. Why do I want anything in my life that would hate the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I got to say this now. There's some mindsets in our lives this morning that is contrary to what God is wanting to do in your life and my life. And if I hold on to that mindset, I'm saying I love that, I like that, I will agree with that, but I'm going to push out what God's wanting to do. And the only way it can be destroyed is we got to take the sword and cut that out of our life. Amen? Cut it out of our life. Now, why is this so important? Let's go to John. John chapter 12. Out of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus says, verily, verily, verse 24, John 12, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall what? Oh, my. See, Saul had great opportunities, but he lost everything that he could have had because of pride. And remember when he started out, he didn't even want to be seen by the people. But then when it was all over, he didn't want David to be seen. But see, this morning, you and I, we want David, we want Jesus to be seen in every area of our life. And the way that he is seen is, it's not my will, it's not your will. Glory. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. This is red letter. This is out of the mouth of Jesus. We got to hear what he says and recognize and realize that if we will put this to practice, that there is not one thing that we could hold on to that would be satisfying as much as what his will and plan is. Amen? Now, notice what he says. Here's how we do it. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl serve me, let him or her follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man, any person shall serve me, him or her will my Father honor. Glory. That word, the glory. The glory, the presence will come out of your life greater and greater. And the presence will be so real to people that when they get around you, they don't understand why they want to be around you, but they just want to be around you because of the presence of David, the presence of the type of Christ, the presence of Jesus. And as they're there, they're talking with you, they're fellowshipping with you, but they're really fellowshipping with the Spirit that is in you, because greater is He that is in you, amen, than He that's in the world, 1 John 4:4. And that it makes 1 John 4:1 come to pass. 1 John 4:1 says, try the spirits. All of a sudden, they start recognizing and realizing when the Holy Spirit comes out of your life, out of my life, they start seeing the working of the enemy, the spirit in this world that's lying to them. And they start seeing the Saul in their life. And they start recognizing and realizing, hey, this can be destroyed out of my life by the Word of God, by the sword of the Lord. And I can have a free mindset. I can be changed. See, we've all been around people that we love, and they went to church for X number of years. But you see that there's not a constant change in their life. They still think the same way about certain things. Now, I'm not judging. I'm just telling you just the way it is, because you and I were to speak the truth in love. If I don't change the way I'm thinking from moment to moment, I'm not with the one who changes my mind, my understanding, my actions, my desires. Amen? So I need to look and I need to say, wait a minute, I've got something that God wants me to deal with. I've got a Saul that is limiting me. I've got something that I've asked for. I've got something that I've elevated and gave kingship to. I gave authority to. I've allowed it to be in a ruling place in my life, and I want that to change. Amen? And Jesus said the way that we see that change is that we allow our lives to do what he said in verse 24. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We've got to see that this body right here, I was born in this earth age. You was born in this time, this earth age. We are a three-part being. But the way that we can walk in the will and the plan of God and get every soul out of our life is that we allow this old man to be planted in the old life. And we get up in Jesus Christ and we walk in the newness of life. We walk by the Spirit of God. And we allow the reality of this relationship of this David, this type of Christ, we allow it to be first and foremost in our lives. And when we do that, all of a sudden we start seeing things. We start seeing things that is a hindrance, is a limitation. And so many times in my life, the Bible, it says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed, James chapter 5. My weakness that I'm giving to the Lord every day and allowing to be changed is, I don't see how God can do it in my situation. Because here's what the Word says, and here's where I'm at. Lord, I don't know how I can come from here. Show me. Grab me by the hand. Help me, because I've asked for other things that I thought would fill in that gap, and it was like dynamite. It made the gap wider and bigger, more jagged, more dangerous to get through. But the Spirit of God covers all of that. And all of a sudden, Jesus takes us by the hand, and we just step over that when we say yes to Him. Amen? All right, let's go back to 1 Samuel 18. Hallelujah. And it came to pass when he made an end, verse 1, in of speaking unto Saul, and that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. You know, you can look over in 2 Samuel, we won't turn there, but it says in 2 Samuel chapter 1 that down about verse 24, 25, 26, somewhere in there, it says that Jonathan loved David more than the love of a woman. Now, that's pretty powerful. Guys, come on, we'll go across glass. Amen? We're talking about checking our heart, checking our motivation, checking what pulls us, what leads. David here is seeing that Jonathan is looking at him and says, I don't care what the strongest thing in this world is. David says, I see in Jonathan that he loves me more. That's the key to getting every Saul out of your life. See, there's certain sins that had bondage in my life, that had domination in my life, and I wanted out of that, but I never got out of it until I realized that I loved that. And I had to turn that into where I loved God more. And the moment that I allowed God to put love in my heart greater than the lust in my life, victory came. Amen? And that's what he wants to do in every area of our lives, where we can get the Saul out. Okay, verse number 2. And Saul took him that day and led him, go no more, talking about David, no more home to his father's house. But now get this, verse number 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Oh, glory. Now this gets me excited. You and I, we get to make a covenant come in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that it's impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. And so when He moves upon you and He shows you where you're at, but He tells you where you can be, and you say, Lord, I agree with you, we're fulfilling what Matthew 18 says. Jesus said that when you agree, you and I come in agreement with Him as touching any one thing, it shall be done. And so I want to be in the place where I allow the Spirit of God to show me the Saul in my life, show me anything that's trying to take dominion, kingship, and I come in agreement with what the Word says. And I have victory over it. Amen? Now notice what happens when we do that. Verse number 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. Now what did Jesus say there in John chapter 12? That if a corn of wheat, if the outside falls in the grave. In other words, we die out to self. We die out to the old things. And we allow what is real about your life and my life to be manifested. All of a sudden, things changes. But notice this. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and he gave it to David. Now, you've got so much to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave it to you, but He made you special and unique. And He wants you to give what you've got back to Him. Now, I want us to think about this just for a second. Remember, David, as he was going to fight Goliath, Saul tried to put his armor on David. But Jonathan's what you can give Jesus because He gave it to you, it fits. It fits. It works perfectly. Amen? Oh, glory. And so this morning you're in a place and a position where as you recognize and realize that what you give to the Lord, then the Lord, He works it in your life. See, you have a destiny. You have an anointing. You have an ability with that anointing that will forever change your life. Because you're willing to change somebody else's life. Amen? And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him, and he gave it to David and his garments, even to what? His sword and his bow and his girdle. He gave everything that he had to David because he was completely sold out. So this morning, you and I, we can be in a place and a position where we can give part to God. And we'll end up like a Saul. We'll have Sauls all in every area of our life. But if we're willing to say, Lord, I just give it all to You. I recognize that You're the source of everything. And I want us to see that when we give it to God, that the things that fit, they just work. They just work. You know, right now, listen to me. By the Spirit of God, some of you, you're in a struggle, in a situation. And it, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you pray, no matter what you do, it is a struggle in that situation. This morning, if you'll give everything to the Lord and you'll let the every Saul in your life that has caused you to look at it in a wrong way, maybe in a selfish way, maybe just in a prideful way, whatever it might be, if you'll give it to Him, He's going to change it. He's going to change it. You're going to see things differently. Don't you hate when you're in a situation and you're having a conversation with somebody, you know that the glory of the Lord is there. You know the anointing of God is there. You know that what they're saying is true, but this outer shell is just causing you to be at variance to what's happening. It can be changed. Amen? It can be destroyed, that outer shell. When we give everything to the Lord and say, Lord, I want You to have me. I recognize that I'm a spirit. I have a soul and I'm in a body. But I give it all to You. I give it all to You. Now You do what only You can do. Amen? Oh, glory. That's power. Now, quickly, drop down to, I want you to know that the Saul that is in your life, it's actively working to try to bring you and I into more bondage. If we don't apply this word then and see what it's doing, it will try to swallow up the will of David, the type of Jesus in your life. Drop down to verse number 20. 1 Samuel 18:20. And Michelle, Saul's daughter, loved David. That word love there, look it up, it has sexual connotation. And Saul's daughter loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Now, why did it please Saul? Because Saul's not looking to add David to his family for his benefit. He's looking to destroy David. The Saul in your life, the Saul in my life wants to destroy you. Wants to destroy me. And he's very subtle the way he works. And so we've got to allow the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of wisdom, to come inside of us to show us what the enemy's up to. Otherwise, we'll walk right along and we'll fall right in the ditch. Amen? And Saul said, I will give him her that she may be a snare. She may be a noose to him. And that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. Now, we've got to recognize and realize that the enemy is he is trying to orchestrate things in your life. And so this is why when you and I, the first thing when we wake up, we praise the Lord. And then we say, I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against me, against my family, it shall not prosper. But with my mouth, my tongue, I condemn it. I will not follow the voice of the enemy. I will not take a lead from the Sauls in my life. But I am the sheep of the master's shepherd, sheepfold. He's my shepherd. I'm gonna listen to him. Amen. I'm gonna follow him. Jesus said that once when you're in the Father's hand, that no man can pluck you out. Right? John chapter 10. But I can crawl out. But I'm not going to do that. Amen? You're not going to do that. I'm going to take heed. I'm going to do what he said. He said that I would hear his voice. Glory. And so I know that I have a choice to make. I have a choice to make this morning. God is wanting to do something magnificent in our lives. But there is a Saul in there that is causing us not to be able to see what God's wanting to do. And we're not appreciating it. We're not embracing it. We're not expecting good things from it. And I, in the name of Jesus, I command that to fall. Amen? Just as that veil was rent in twain when Jesus said it is finished, let's let the anointing cause every veil off our eyes to be rent in twain so we can see. All right. So, quickly, here's what Saul said in verse 22. Saul commanded his servants. You know, the devil's got workers. Some of them has, in past has been your best friend. My best friend. He commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly. And say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law. You and I, we're married to one. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he's coming after his bride. And we're going to be washed in his blood. We're going to be without spot and without wrinkle, not of our own works, because we're trusting in his work. Amen? His work that is completed and finished. And so we've got to see that this covenant, remember, God wants to make a covenant with you. He wants you and I to make a covenant with him. But the devil wants us to break it. These Sauls in our life, they're so subtle that we don't recognize how powerful they are. When we come in agreement with what we hear that's not of the Spirit of God, with what we see that's not of the Spirit of God, whether you realize it, whether I realize it or not, we're making a covenant with it. So you're sitting there, maybe you're having your coffee. All of a sudden you hear, boy, this just ain't working in my marriage. This just ain't working in my job. This relationship with my children, it's just never going to work out. Where did that come from? It's the devil. And he wants you to say, oh, yes. Oh, that's right. Oh, thank you, God, for giving me comfort to prepare me for what's happening.
really. Exhortation, edification, and comfort. We've got to be careful. When these things come across the very buds of our mind, we've got to make sure, Lord, reveal to me what you're saying to me. Help me. I don't want any unholy covenant. I don't want to receive any word that's not of you. I want to receive the word that you have, because Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Amen? They'll bear witness in your spirit and they'll bring life to you, spirit, soul, and body. Now see, the devil's words give life to one thing, but his life works death, because there's no life in him. Amen? There's no truth in him. All right. So, drop down to verse 28. I want to leave you with this working in your spirit, these closing verses. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. Now, think about this. The Sauls in your life, they know that Jesus is in your life. And they know they can't defeat Jesus in your life, in my life. The only way they can defeat us is if they get us to break covenant. So if you and I, no matter how much pressure, no matter how much trouble, how much trials and all of these things, as long as we don't break the covenant, God never will. Amen? What He's promised you, what He said to you, what you're holding on to, I don't care how many years it's been. You trust God, it's going to come to pass. His word will not return unto Him void. Amen? Isaiah 55:11. God will make sure of that. That's your promise. That's your confidence. All right. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michelle, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid. Come on. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. The Sauls in your life, they're afraid. This word here was yet more afraid. It means to augment. It means to keep adding to. I want you to think about the torment being added to the devil. Because the Bible says that you reap what you sow. Everything the devil's doing, it can't stay on you. It goes back to him. So I want you to be encouraged to know that everything the devil is done, every Saul that the devil has orchestrated and worked in your life and my life, everything that we may have made an unholy covenant with, if we will see it and renounce it and we'll come in covenant with this David, this type of Jesus, then all of a sudden the fear is not in your life anymore. It's working in Saul's. Because the Saul's in your life, this morning they know they've been put on notice. They know their days are numbered, and they know that you're coming to a new place of truth, a new place that brings freedom, a new place that brings victory like you've never experienced before. Amen? And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Continually. Now that means you and I, we have a foe. We have a foe that is, and that foe is coming against your soul. That foe wants you. Because that foe hates you because God loves you. But you're going to rest in the love of God. You're going to abide in the love of God. You're going to be empowered by the love of God. And the love of God, what? It never fails. Come on, 1 Corinthians 13, it never fails. The love of God covers a multitude of sin. I'm forgiven this morning. You're forgiven this morning. We're blood washed, blood bought. We have a covenant with God. We're on our way to heaven. But in the meantime, every Saul is going to fall out of our life. We're going to see things like we never saw them before, because we're going to look to the author, the finisher of our faith. We're going to run this race with patience. We're going to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Amen. And we're going to be free. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We
worship you. We honor you. We thank you for your mighty presence. Father, right now, I ask that you would touch every person starting right here with me. Draw us to a place of an altar, a place of humility, a place to be able to see and hear what you're saying to us this morning, and allow every Saul to be destroyed by the very anointing of God, the fire of God, to burn it out of our lives. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? Would you come and make yourself an altar and say, Father God, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the covenant with your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you. I thank you that I can see things like I never saw before. I thank you that I can walk in a truth that I've never walked in before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Don't sit there. Don't sit there. Come on. Hallelujah. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. You're going to leave here freer than you've ever been before because you're responding to the Word of God. You're trusting in the Lord. It's not about man. It's not about anybody but you and Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Oh, the name of Jesus.